Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Power Up and Game. This is episode number 28, and I am your host, Michael, and joining me is Taylor. Taylor, how's it going, buddy?
I am doing fantastic, man. I am excited to be on this podcast here today. This is the third podcast I've done this week, which has been a lot of fun. It's been a wide variety of topics I've talked about behind a microphone. So, yeah, I can't wait to talk about that later on in the show and get into our topic here today. Notice how I was talking topic as in singular.
Yeah, so you actually stay very busy, so I'm not going to waste too much of your time, and we are going to talk about something.
No, dude. I got nothing to do. Like, we can spend 3 hours here on this podcast. It's fine with me. We're not going to, people. I'm sorry. We're going to take 3 hours up of your time, but still.
I mean, the way we record, we can easily get into 3 hours.
You know, that's a fair point. It's a possibility, actually. So I think anybody listening to us at this point kind of knows the deal.
Yeah, because like for the past few episodes, we'd be like, we're going to leave this down to an hour, hour and a half. And like 2 hours later, oh, yeah, that's right. We're going to hold this down, but we didn't. All right, so here's the deal. At the time of recording this, there's not a whole lot of gaming news to talk about, and everything in the news cycle right now is stuff we've already spoken about multiple times in the past. But I bet that now I'm saying this, there's going to be some huge gaming news story that will break from right now to when we post this episode. It happens every now and again. It actually happens to us often, and I will get messages from Taylor like, hey, this thing happened after we recorded, and we're like, oh, that'd been a cool topic. So we'll see what happens this week. Anyway, with a slow gaming news week and Halloween around the corner, we thought it would be fun to just talk about some video games for a bit. No lists, no drafts, just a conversation about the horror game genre. And to start that conversation, I gotta ask you, Taylor, what is the best horror game ever in your opinion? And also, for the people who are listening to this podcast for the first time, tell us again about your experience with the horror game genre.
Okay, so if this is your first time listening to us, We greatly appreciate it. And secondly, I am somebody who is fascinated by horror. I will look at YouTube videos. I will look at wikis. I'm very interested in the lore behind a lot of these thrillers and horror kind of movies. Smile, the movie that just came out recently, I was like, wow, that looks interesting. I would never watch it, though. Because one thing I absolutely hate is, like, jump scares. And that's the main thing that I think keeps me from a lot of horror movies. So, and so I'm pretty much just a big wimp, but I love the lore so much that I'm kind of fascinated by it. In terms of video games, it's kind of the same thing. There's a game, I always talk about this whenever we get into this kind of topic, Fear 2. I tried playing Fear 2 back in middle school, and I remember just sitting there playing the game, and my character falls into a pool, and then my character gets out of a pool, and the ghost girl, like, is right in front of you, and it's a big freaking jump scare, and I just remember exiting from the game and turning the console off and just calling it a day. I was in the middle of an Xbox party, too. Which makes it far fun. Like, no explanation, no screams, just like, nope, nope, all right, I'm done. So that's kind of how I am with horror games. I'm, like, very wimpy when it comes to that. But again, I just love the lore of it. How about you, man?
I'm actually kind of in the same boat as you. While I do get the fascination with horror, like, some people just like to be scared, I'm a wuss. I'm a little bitch. I can't do a whole lot of horror.
Yeah. Well, that's not to say I don't. I have never played horror games. I have played horror games. It's just, it's not. Yeah. So it's just not one of those things that's, we're the experts in it to where we can tell you about every Dead Space game and every Resident Evil and every Evil Within and every Silent Hill and so on and so forth. But I've played games like Resident Evil 2, Silent Hill, games like that, that have been extremely kind of difficult for me to get through, but I've done it, and I think you're in the same boat as you just mentioned.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of horror games that I would be like, oh yeah, this is something that I'm gonna carry me forever, because I'm kind of like, yeah, that was horrible, I kind of want to forget it. Like I played Machine for Pigs, And that game fucked me up. I was like, oh my goodness, this is horrible in a good way. I see why people love this, but I was like, yeah, I can't finish this game. And I know a lot of people who play horror games are like, that's the game that stopped. Yes, that's the game that stopped me. That game messed me up. I was like, yo, this is just something that I can't take. Like, it was just such a well-paced game, and the sound design was so good, from what I remember. And I remember playing it because I had to do it for a review, and it fell into my lap. I was like, yo, I'm the worst person to do this. And yeah, it did not go too hot for me, but I do have some experience when it comes to horror.
Yeah, before we get into like our favorite horror games and game franchises, you kind of brought up like sound design. I want to ask you a question, man. What do you think is necessary to craft an excellent horror game? Because to me, I think sound design and just an overall, not jump scares. Again, I've talked about how much I hated jump scares. I don't think that makes something good in the horror genre. That's just my opinion. I think what makes something good in that genre is a feeling of claustrophobia, in a sense, or a feeling of just dread. And that doesn't have to be from, oh, it's a jump scare right in front of me or something like that. I think it could be like, for example, something like Alien Isolation was something that did this so well with its isolation. So what makes a great horror game to you?
For me, it would definitely come down to atmosphere. Like, if you have a good atmosphere, not too
dark. That's a way better way to put it than what I was trying to explain. I was like, I'm just trying to come up with the words for it. I was like, I just can't. It's not coming to my brain. And then you said atmosphere. I was like, fuck it, that's it.
Yeah, it's definitely the atmosphere. If you have a game that's way too dark, that just goes to show that you know your creature design and your world design isn't that interesting. So you got to make everything super dark so players can't see what they're actually doing and where they're actually going. And I hate those kind of games. And then there's some games that are just so well lit that you can see what's coming towards you. And you don't want to mess with it. You don't want to deal with it because you're like, yo, that shadowy figure could be anything. And I kind of don't want to see what it is. And seeing something like that coming to the light, not being afraid of you, and just like coming straight at you, it's like, yeah, man, this is dread. This is what dread feels like. Sound design is important, because if you have crap sound design, it kind of takes players out of the moment. But I would definitely say atmosphere is like the key. You can't have your game too brightly lit or too dark. I think Resident Evil does a great job with having things that are lit well. Like they're better lit than a lot of horror games I've actually seen and played. So I would definitely say that you can get away with bright atmosphere you can get away with bright worlds and bright levels as long as your atmosphere fits and works along with that bright setting.
Yeah, I totally agree. And getting into what games kind of like capture that atmosphere, one of the first, you kind of just mentioned it too, I think the recent Resident Evil remakes, and the one that I'm thinking about mostly is the, 2019's Resident Evil 2? Was it 2019? I think.
You know, they've been pumping these out so much, I honestly don't know when.
Well, the Resident Evil 2 remake that they released, and that is, to me, how you do a remake. Well, maybe also, I think more liberties people could do with story as well, but I don't think you have to touch Resident Evil 2 story too much. So that when I say that's how you do a remake, for Resident Evil 2 especially, it was perfection. Because it took everything that people loved about Resident Evil 2, the original, and put it into the Resident Evil 4-esque kind of action style, third person. But instead of being this action-oriented setting, no, we're going to isolate the player. We're going to make them feel as claustrophobic as possible. The lighting's going to be really dim. Your ammo's going to be scarce again. There was just this sense of every bullet matters in that game. And so when you were talking about atmosphere, that was the first game that came to mind for me. And I know this gets brought up. It's probably cliche at this point, but because it's a game that never was and people always talk about it. But I think Silent Hills PT is a game that captured that demo, I would say, captured that so well too. And it just, it really had so many gamers going, what the fuck is this game going to be? And that doesn't happen too often. So I think that's why it gets talked about so much, even today, is because it captured the minds of so many.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. PT was definitely that thing to where even I was like, yo, I want to see more of this. I want to see where this goes. Even though it was like really puzzling of trying to figure out why you're stuck in this one like loop in this hallway, in this looping hallway. And I think that's what really helped. It was like, it was just mysterious. Like, yeah, there's evil going on, but you're kind of like focusing on the world around you.
What you gotta do to get out of this loop that you're in. And you're hoping every time you're going through this loop, you're not going to turn around to whatever the hell is chasing you that you don't want to see. And you're hoping when you're going around that corner to the bathroom that that bathroom door stays fucking closed. And yeah, it's just, to me, that is one of the, if you're looking for an example of how to do horror correctly, in my opinion, I think that is it in such a small setting.
Yeah, although it makes you kind of wonder what, how that something like that would like fit for a whole game, the whole roguelike.
Yeah, what would that look like in a full game? We'll never see it, unfortunately. And well, maybe we do one day. Who knows? Maybe the stranger things have happened in gaming, so maybe we eventually see this years down the line. But it's just fun to look at that and go, what could have been with this game? When Norman Reedus is the main character, Hideo Kojima and Guillermo del Toro attached to it as well. So yeah, it's just that demo. I think you gotta mention it here. I know it's probably cliche. I know people always talk about it. And it's like, well, the game never existed, but it's special. It just is.
Yeah. So one of the things that I wonder about when it comes to horror games is, what do you find more annoying, jump scares or fake jump scares?
That is a good one. I would say the jump scares themselves, because they get me. The fake jump scares is just pissing you off. But
yeah,
I think I'm more pissed off by getting hit by a jump scare. That's the main thing that gets me about horror games, too. So I talked about that earlier with horror movies and why I just don't watch them. It's kind of the same in video game form too. And by the way, we didn't talk about when we were talking about the atmosphere, there's a lot of games that capture it well. And we didn't talk about Dead Space. Dead Space to me, it's one of those games too that kept coming to mind. So I just wanted to shout that out. We'll talk about that probably somewhere down the line while we're just talking about our favorite horror games, because, you know, Dead Space is so beloved. And even though we haven't played all the Dead Space games, it should be talked about on a podcast like this.
Yeah, so I actually never got past Dead Space 1.
Mm-hmm.
I played a little bit of Dead Space 1. But I never played 2 and 3. I was more into Lost Planet.
Would you be interested in that upcoming remake?
Well, since I played a bit of the first one, now that I'm a little older and better at the game, I think I would like to actually experience the first one, like in its definitive edition, and see what I missed out on. Because, man, I know people who love the first two, but felt that third one was such a letdown that they were okay with Dead Space dying off.
That's a weird spot for a franchise to be in, where one game is so bad, where it's like, well, y'all can take a few years off, all right?
Yeah,
you've earned it. You don't feel like you have to rush the next one. Take your time.
Yeah, I know a few people who were like, yeah, the third one was fucking terrible. Only because, you know, it was at a time where EA was really trying to push for microtransactions in their games, and of course they were really trying to push multiplayer in their single player games as well. And for a lot of fans, I know that was like a sore spot for them. It's like, I don't care about the multiplayer. You're really trying to force this second character in there when there were other characters in Dead Space 1 and 2 you could have used. We don't care about this character. We just want to play as the character we've been playing since game 1. We don't care about this time-saving microtransaction nonsense to get things that we should be able to get within the game the same way we did the first two games. And because of that trend from EA, I think a lot of the Dead Space players were okay with it dying off because they didn't want to see their franchise turn into pretty much Madden or something of the like, to where you get nothing but season passes and microtransactions. So I definitely get where Dead Space fans were coming with that one. And I think that might actually be the scariest part for Dead Space fans with microtransactions.
What about you? Would it be microtransactions for you too? Is this the scariest part of games?
That should be the worst part. That'd be the part that pisses me off. Yeah. It'd be worse than jump scares and fake jump scares.
But seriously though, what's the most annoying thing for you with horror games? Jump scares, I would assume too.
Actually, no. The jump scares I get because that's kind of like what it's supposed to do. I do like the build up, and I expect that build up to keep going. It's the fake jump scares I don't like. Those are the most annoying for me because I feel like, oh, you build up to nothing. Is this going to be the rest of the game? Like, is this what you guys are going to do for, like, forever? Like, you brought up Fear. I enjoyed Fear and Fear 2, but I never played Fear 3. No, wait, I did? It was forgettable. Fear 3 was forgettable for me. But having... Was it Alma? Was that the name of the...
Of the girl? Don't quote me on that, but
I should really look that up. Yeah, but I'm just going to go ahead and call her Alma. When they would have her just pop up out of nowhere and try to jump scare you, that was kind of annoying because there was no real build-up with that. And it was like, I kind of hate this. But Fear did such a great job with building up that fear that you think you're safe because you have a gun. And it's just supernatural nonsense that goes around. You remember like, oh yeah, these are ghosts and mystical powers or psychology or something. Like, my gun is not going to shoot a ghost. So you kind of get yourself into that panic mode to where anything can happen. And despite the point that any of the enemies you come against you can kill, you don't know what they're after, what they're protecting, or what's beyond that. So it gives you this confidence, and then it just shatters it by scaring the ever-living hell out of you. And I really love that. And I don't play a whole lot of horror games. So for me, that doesn't happen too often. But building up to nothing is the most annoying thing to me. It feels unrewarding, if that makes sense.
No, that totally makes sense.
So when it comes to horror game, what would be your recommendation for somebody like us who isn't big into horror games, but would like to play something that's not going to give us a heart attack? What would you actually recommend?
That's a really good question. Somebody who's not, I would say, and I don't know if this is the absolute best, but it is definitely the first thing to pop in my mind. The Walking Dead, especially season 1, that is definitely a masterpiece in my opinion. But The Walking Dead season 1, there's some moments there that I think people might get a little like, oh, that was really creepy or that was scary. But the game itself is just so damn good. Telltale does such a great job with its story, its characters, and the decisions you'll make as Lee throughout that game. So that's probably just the first thing that popped in my mind. Thinking about a few others. I do think games like Resident Evil aren't the absolute worst when it comes to horror, because the thing I love about Resident Evil, and this is why this is probably my favorite horror game franchise of all time, is because it balances horror out with cheesy lines and just cheesy fun action stuff. And yeah, sometimes they went too over the top, and we had the years of Resident Evil 5 and this thing we don't like to talk about called Resident Evil 6. But you also get those moments in the Resident Evil 2 remake, Resident Evil 3 remake, Resident Evil 7. It's just, there's things that happen in those games that are ridiculous, but it still works, you know? Like, cheesiness works in video game form, in movie form, television form. You just have to be able to use it correctly. And I think Resident Evil has done that for a long time. So that I'd add that to the list as well.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. As for me, I know... See, you went light. Well, not light, but like light compared to what I was going to say. Because again, I enjoy stuff like Fear. To where I can get this false sense of safety from having a weapon, despite knowing that there's more stuff out there that's just going to utterly wreck me. But for me, if you do like that sense of false security, I would recommend Condemned: Criminal Origins. It's not a full-blown horror game like Resident Evil or even Fear. Like, I think Fear might actually be scarier than... Well... No, I say Condemned scarier than Fear. But Condemned: Criminal Origins is a first-person survival horror. And it is a game that came out way back in like 2005. It was a game I got on the Xbox 360. It's on PC. In fact, it's like $15 right now on Steam. So if you haven't played it, I highly recommend it. It's a little problematic nowadays because the main people you're going around beating up with trash cans and locker doors are like homeless drug addicts or something. They're called addicts, but it seems a little iffy. Ugh. But if you can get to the point to where you're like, okay, this is a horror game. These things are attacking me rather than me just going around nonchalantly attacking them. I know it's some mental gymnastics you might have to go through if you have a problem with that kind of stuff. But it was just one of those games that took me by surprise, which I thought was going to be more action than horror. And it balanced them out so well together. The problem is that ending, if I remember correctly, wasn't really the best. But it got a sequel. It got a sequel called Condemned 2 Bloodshot, which I don't remember if I even finished that game, but I want to go back and play them. But for me, my recommendation, Condemned: Criminal Origins. It gives you a good sense of false security because you are strong enough to fight off some of the enemies. The hand-to-hand combat was what made it so interesting in the first place. So there's not really a whole lot of gunplay in there. You know, you're picking up 2x4s and ripping off locker doors and use them as shields and weapons. It has a mystery to it. You play as a detective, I believe. Yeah, you play an officer, and you're trying to solve these grisly murders. And the gimmick was that you had a camera or a phone or something that you can use to look at crime scenes, get fingerprints, and look at blood splatter and this and that. Where it was kind of cool. It's like, oh, cool! It's a detective horror game. But that whole detective stuff is kind of half-baked, to be honest. But yes, I would recommend Condemned: Criminal Origins if you want a fun horror game that helps you with that sense of you have power, but you're also powerless at the same time.
I think another game that would be really good for people who are just getting into horror that kind of like us, or like where we don't care for a lot of jump scares, we're not huge into playing horror games because, again, we're wimps. I would say Alan Wake. Alan Wake is one of the... I'm so glad it's getting the love it's getting now. I apologize for that. Someone just drove by my house at about 70 miles an hour, it sounded like. But Alan Wake, I'm so glad it's getting the love it's getting now because it really deserved it. I remember when the game came out, and a bunch of my friends were like, why are you playing that? And I'm like, it's a very fun single-player game that has a great story. And around that time, you know, you're in high school, and you're, like, trying to play Call of Duty and these multiplayer games, Gears of War, Halo, and you're not really looking for that very fun single-player experience. So I think that was a game I just remember playing all the way back then, and just having such a fun time with it. And it's definitely one of those games that deserved a sequel, and I'm glad that we're finally getting one.
Yes, I've been begging for And Alan Wake 2 forever since that magnificent ending. I even went and bought like that collector's edition where it had the book in it and the steelcase. I was big into Alan Wake, so I was super, super sad when I found out that there wasn't going to be a sequel, but we're getting a sequel, and it took forever. And let me tell you, yes, I will be buying it. Please don't let it be $70, please. On this podcast, I was like, there have been no games for $70, even though I did plop down to $70 for Ratchet and Clank when it came out on PS5. But Alan Wake, I hate to say this, but Alan Wake is one of those games where I would put down $70 for it because I've been waiting for so long. But I will only get it at the collector's editions and whatnot because I kind of feel like, hey, I love this game. I would love to do that. But yes, I too would stand by that recommendation. Alan Wake is fantastic. And it's one of those games that I was like, yo, why don't we have more interesting games like this?
And of course, if you're just trying to get into the Halloween spirit, but you're not trying to get really into it, I don't think you can go wrong with zombies. Just straight out killing zombies. And you can't go wrong with games like Back 4 Blood. It's not the absolute best multiplayer zombies game out there, I know, but it is fun. You got the Left 4 Deads. You got World War Z. World War Z was really good when it released, by the way. I wish they did more with the game. I do. I wrote the review for it on thenerdsesh.com, and like I was just so optimistic about this game. Like, oh my god, this can be the next Left 4 Dead. It doesn't live up to that for me. It's its own thing, and it's very good at that, but I still felt like it had potential it never fully tapped into. That said, it's a lot of fun. And of course, you can't go wrong with Dead Rising. Dead Rising 1, Dead Rising 2, Dead Rising 3 to an extent. Let's don't download Dead Rising 4. That's let's forget that one. But the Dead Rising games, Left 4 Dead, Back 4 Blood, World War Z. Am I missing a zombie game out there that's just a lot of action fun?
I would actually even bring in Call of Duty Zombies. You know, they have some pretty
good. Oh, hell yeah. Dude, that I'm so glad you said that. Call of Duty Zombies, especially Black Ops 3, the whole Treyarch Zombies saga is, the story is so ridiculous. It's so out there. You'll need 15 YouTube videos to fully understand it. But it's good. I like it. It's very engaging. And it gives players a reason to play. The characters are great there, too. The weapons, the ray gun, the Wonder Waffle, that's from, like, the old school. And then we'd go on to get the Ray Gun Mark II and the Thunder Gun, the Paralyzer. I love the Paralyzer. I don't know if you remember that weapon from Buried in Black Ops 2. What have you played Black Ops Zombies too much, or...?
I played some of it. I'm not the biggest Call of Duty Black Ops. Actually, I know this is an unpopular opinion, but I was actually a bigger fan of Call of Duty's invasion mode more than the zombie mode, even though they're basically the same thing.
Yeah, that was one of the few things I liked about Call of Duty Ghosts, was that mode. But
the whole alien invasion thing I thought was kind of cool and interesting.
It was something that I thought like the Modern Warfare franchise could come back with and do instead of zombies, and it would be refreshing, and Treyarch could keep zombies on its own. Yeah, with Black Ops 2, just want to talk about Buried for a quick second, then we can move on. Buried is one of my favorite maps in Call of Duty Zombies history. It's extremely easy, but it was probably that, Mob of the Dead, and Origins. Those three maps were the ones that I knew everything you could do in that map. I knew the Easter egg, I knew where everything was, I knew all the secrets, and it was just a lot of fun to be that guy in the group to hop onto the game and be like, hold on guys, I know what to do here. And go through, find a free perk, or get the, I think his name's Larry, the guy in Buried that you could use to your advantage to get him to do certain things, and it's just... it was a lot of fun. Buried's one of the best maps in the game, even though it's very easy, because you can just sit in one corner with a paralyzer and kill everybody.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's just goofy fun. But I will admit, the sounds that those things make in Call of Duty is pretty horrifying. Like, it's become iconic.
So if you're looking for light horror stuff, that's what I highly recommend. You can't go wrong with zombies. And there's no shortage of zombie games. Oh, I forgot a few. Dying Light. Dying Light 2.
Okay, I actually wouldn't recommend Dying Light.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't. I just found it way too repetitive, and which is weird coming from zombies. I know, but at least with even with Call of Duty, you know, you could change things up and have fun with it. Dead Rising's whole thing was just being goofy fun, but I don't know. Again, it just didn't. It didn't
really click with it
for me.
Yeah, it
didn't. Neither did Dead Island. That was also a game that didn't really click with me.
I think the thing that everybody like meshed with Dying Light instead of Dead Island, even though Dead Island's kind of had this cult-like following since its release, because Dead Island 2 was dead, no pun intended, and now it's back, it's coming out next year. Very pumped for that, by the way. But for Dying Light, I think everybody was just enamored with the parkour system. And yeah, it is really good. It like there's no doubt about it that even detractors of the game can look at that parkour system and go, well, you know, that's not something everybody's doing. So good on you, Techland.
Yeah, for me the reason that was the big thing is because I was still wanting a game to reach the heights of Mirror's Edge when it came to first person parkour. And I think that might have been what ruined it for me. I wanted more Mirror's Edge. It's like, oh man, Mirror's Edge with zombies. Hell yeah. And then for me, the parkour system wasn't really all that great and interesting. And of course, anyone who's into this podcast knows when we talk about Breath of the Wild, one of my pet peeves, breakable weapons, no matter how strong you make them, no matter how great they're supposed to be, they break so damn fast. That was another thing that just bothered the hell out of me. Because I wanted to have fun with that zombie game. I wanted Mirror's Edge with Dead Rising. And I think that's what messed it up for me.
Yeah, I totally get you.
Oh, let's see. Great developers. Are there any developers that you believe should try a horror game? I know we talked about Hideo Kojima doing it, and we would still love for that to happen. But what about game devs? Like who would you like to take, a stab at horror genre?
Kojima, of course. I think Kojima would have so much fun in this genre. But I'm just trying to think outside the box. I'm thinking about my favorite developers out there. I wonder what Respawn could do in a horror game setting. I don't know if they've ever taken on a horror game before, but
Lord, that'd be awesome.
I think just the way that they design their games, it'd be very interesting to see what they can do in that kind of format. Raven Software made a game back in the day called Singularity. And it's not one of the best games out there. It's not. But I remember it just as one of my favorites of that generation. It's been 10 plus years since I played it. It was like a game where you're going to this, I think it's like a Russian base, and you're going through time, but it's kind of freaky at the same time because there's these sci-fi elements to it, and you're kind of in these dark, decrepit places. So I'd like to see if Raven Software can make something on their own and get away from just doing Warzone stuff. But
that'd be pretty awesome.
What about you, man?
Man, Respawn is a good one. That'd be great. I'd actually like to see, and I know it's going to be a wild one, Platinum Games. I would like to see Platinum Games take their hand at horror genre. Like, because they're just so creative and stylish. I would like to see what kind of creature designs they can come up with and what kind of world that they would build around horror. You know, I feel like they would get creative with it.
I do want to say a tongue-in-cheek one here. If you want to play a really good horror game, check out this game from EA Sports called Madden NFL 23.
Oh man, I don't know if you could find an unpatched version of Assassin's Creed Unity. That's actually pretty good.
That's a good one.
If you want to go ahead and have an action-packed horror game, there you go. You might walk into a cutscene without your head, and you're like, "Oh shit!"
That's or awesome.
Eyeballs and teeth.
What's that WWE? Was it 2K20? WWE 2K20 that was having similar issues.
Yeah, you can have like five WWE games from 2K before their recent reboot. Yeah,
you know how bad that game had to be for it to pick up as much mainstream like gaming media as it did, because usually when those 2K games come out, it's, oh, 2K game got released, here's the review, here's some guides, here's one or two news stories, we're moving on, because gaming news is so, every 24 hours something else happens, something else crazy happened right after that. But that game was so buggy that it actually got picked and they actually had to take a year off to make the next one.
Yeah. I mean, hey, good on them for actually doing it.
Oh, yeah. I'll give them that. Like, especially because it seems like it paid off. A lot of people are loving WWE 2K22. So, just speaking of so buggy that they're scary games, I feel like we had to mention both what you said, Unity, Madden, and WWE 2K20.
I mean, if you're a football fan, Madden really does help. You might find a house in the middle of your football field or something.
I don't think it would be that far, but I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what the bugs look like for that game nowadays.
Oh, I'm sure they fixed it. Well, hopefully they.
While we're speaking of bugs and glitches and bad things in video games, let's talk about the worst horror games or game franchises. We try to be positive, but let's talk about some of the worst. Let's have some fun with it. Is there any gaming franchise you just absolutely don't like for one reason or another? Horror game franchise, of course.
That's a tough one because, again, you and I, we're not really horror connoisseurs. I actually have a friend who calls himself the horror connoisseur. I wish I could have got him on this episode. Oh, he would have loved this. Because back in the day, I used to really send all of our horror games to him for review. I'd be like, hey, man, it's Halloween time. You're getting a couple of horror games. Would you like to play these? He's like, oh, absolutely, yes. And he was just so good at it
that would you,
he actually made me interested in playing some.
Would you like me to go first?
I would. Because, well, to be honest, I don't have a horror game franchise
that I have look one. At
and say, hey, this should not exist anymore because I'm not that connoisseur. But yeah. I am interested in hearing what you have to say.
Well, I'm not in the mindset that like this shouldn't exist anymore. But as somebody who really doesn't like jump scares, I have mixed opinions on it. Because
hold on, before you say anything,
you want
to are you gonna say Five Nights at Freddy's?
That's exactly what I'm gonna say. So, okay. On one hand,
I forgot all about that game.
The lore of Five Nights at Freddy's is so ridiculously out there, but it's also kind of interesting. So I'm like, wow, that's all right. That's pretty cool. But that game is so jump scare heavy that I can never in my life play it. I can't do it. My heart couldn't take it. I would be dead. You would be not hearing this wonderful voice right now. But again, it's also surprising that this game has survived. The game franchise has survived for a lot longer than I think anybody anticipated. When this first came out, I was like, oh yeah, it's one of those trends, it'll go away. And what, a decade later plus probably, it's still here. It's still doing things. Like, what? How is this still around?
And it's getting a movie.
It's a video game to movie adaptation, but I wonder if that is gonna be any good. I think you could get something interesting out of that.
I think it should be more like a short series or something, you know, like every episode,
like a limited time series.
Yeah. Like every episode you deal with one of the mechanics until you reach Freddy. It's like, cause doesn't the game take over like 7 nights or something like that?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, so like you can do like an episode a night and get 7 to 9 episodes out of that. Like, I don't know about a movie. I think, I don't know. It really sets itself up to be more like a short series, like a season, like a one season series kind of thing. But like you said, there's so many of those games that it keeps going, that is still going, that, yeah, I guess you could do multiple seasons. But man, I forgot all about Five Nights at Freddy's until you started mentioning how it's just so jump scare heavy. It's like, that sounds familiar.
It's one of those franchises that just, whether you love it or hate it, you do got to look at it and go, how are you, you're still here. All right, respect. All right, that's all I got to say. Respect to you, I guess. How are you still here?
Yeah, that's my deal. It's like, man, like, it's the same game. Like, don't get me wrong. I like playing Call of Duty, so I get what people are saying. You know, there's Madden, NBA, you know, you and I talked about this kind of stuff. But man, Five Nights at Freddy just seems like it was definitely one of those streamer bait games, but I don't know. I guess enough streamers keep buying it to where it profits, I guess. But we're not hating on it. We're like, good job on that. We're just saying, like, that's, or at least Taylor's saying, it's like one game. Because the question earlier I did ask, what you find most annoying, you really do hate jump scares. So it makes sense that, yeah, Five Nights will be the franchise.
I'm so conflicted, despise, because the lore is there for me to be interested in. But right, the jump scares are so bad. But yeah, that would be the one game that is, I don't hate it. It's just, I'm so surprised it's still around. Before we get into, I have one last question for you, because we're not going to take up an hour and a half just talking about horror games, even though this has been a very fun conversation. I wonder how this is going to turn out, because if this ends up being successful and people want to hear more about it, I would love to do more episodes like these that are not scripted, or we don't have stuff to talk about like that we have in our outline that is scripted. And it's more just us talking about video games, because I would love to do that more. But is there any other video games you want to shout out? This is our horror game podcast here. Yeah, just to get us into that spooky Halloween season. For anybody listening to kind of get that vibe too, to possibly be like, I want to go on PlayStation Plus or Xbox Game Pass, download something. Don't have to give out a recommendation. Just shout out any horror game that you think we didn't talk about that we should at least shout out.
There's gonna be plenty of people.
We'll miss some. Yeah, we'll miss some. It's okay. Anybody listen to us now, chime in with your favorite horror game that we didn't talk about, or anything that we talked about that you like to discuss, because we love talking about this stuff.
And I'm gonna hope we do a part two of this, because I do want to bring my friend Horror Connoisseur on an episode, a Halloween special, and have his take, his love for the genre, and ask him what developers he think would be best and his favorite horror games, and actually have a recommendation for people who love horror. Maybe he has a game that they have yet to pick up or they've been iffy about.
Maybe we do.
I'm gonna see if I can get him on an episode. No promises, but maybe in a couple of weeks before the end of October.
Yeah, I feel like once we get into November, this topic kind of loses its steam.
Yeah, I kind of want to do it before like Halloween. I think that'd be kind of cool, but we'll see. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. I know Taylor would probably be down for it, to hear an opinion from somebody who loves horror compared to two people who barely touches the genre.
I just want to shout out a few games. Again, we're gonna miss a few because there's so many great games in the horror genre out there. But of course, we talked about the Resident Evils. We talked about the Silent Hills. We talked about Dead Space. There's also games like Little Nightmares. I see screenshots of it. I've seen trailers of it. It looks so creepy. It's so out there, so creepy, that I don't know if I'd ever play it because of that reason. But it's people who love these kind of games, I feel like you probably love that franchise. Fatal Frame is something people were very excited by. I forgot to showcase that they had a trailer for a new game in that franchise, I think, or a remaster. I don't remember which, but it seemed there was a lot of positive buzz around it. There is games like, you know, I mentioned before, Five Nights at Freddy's, that I don't know how they're still around, but they're still doing it. games, like I said, with the zombies, whether it be Dead Island, Dead Rising, Dying Light. There's a lot of dead in this, in these titles. World War Z, Left 4 Dead. So yeah, just to shout out a few there that I felt like we should. And also games like The Evil Within and Outlast. Outlast got a lot of attention here in the Twitch era, which is
interesting. Okay, you know what? I think that'll be the game that I picked. When I said that I didn't think I really have one, that one. I don't care for that franchise.
I see, I can kind of understand that, because Outlast is, this, just from the outside looking in, it seems like a horror franchise that is very, it's kind of like in a group, right? Like you're either the one streaming it with other people watching, or you're the one watching it, and it, that's the experience for it. Or maybe I'm wrong, maybe this is one of those games that just people love on its own, but it does feel like one of those, Twitch really helped this game, and that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that at all. But it does feel like Twitch, it really thrived in that era.
Yeah, and you really do have to play a certain way. Because I do remember playing one of the games. I don't remember which one it was. But my friends and I, sometimes we like to play things strategically. And it's a horror game. We know you don't just run out and do stuff. The AI was kind of broken in that game. But anyway, we tried to play it safe. We hid. And, you know, we tried to play it the right way, but there's something we have to play a game. As I tried to hide from the monster got caught in a loop to where it just randomly walked around and it wouldn't let me leave my hiding spot. And I think that spoiled it for me, because me and my friends, we got bored of the game real quick and we're just like, yeah, let's not play this anymore. It was one of those horror games that where I was ready to, like, okay, I'm ready to be scared. But it annoyed the hell out of me to where I, not only was I not scared, but I didn't want to play. And like, so like for me, yeah, that's my franchise that I wouldn't really care for.
Yeah, I can understand that. So my last question here, we're about to head out of here. We got way farther than I thought we'd ever get with this topic. We talked for about an hour, which is kind of what we always do. We're like, this will be about a 45-minute show, and somehow it ends up just extending about 30 minutes. But yeah. I want to close out our show, our discussion. I was thinking about this. Like, what's the best way we can close out, like, a discussion about horror games? What's your favorite horror character? It could be a protagonist, could be a slasher. In video games, of course. We're not going to movies talking about Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees.
Even though they do have games. So
that is true. Well, if you want to cheat. I guess it would count.
I mean, you cheat death in horror movies and games, so it fits. For me, Lee from Walking Dead Season 1. Lee was honestly one of the best, most well-rounded characters. He had panic from the end of the world, but he also kept it together. He was a leader, but he also knew how to follow sometimes. Of course, the player picked those kind of things. But he was human. He didn't feel like he was some overpowered hero. He didn't feel like an underdog. He felt like a human. And especially, it was great that he was surrounded by other humans, but it was also great because you had Clementine to help tie him down to stay human. So I guess it's kind of a tie between Lee and Clementine. They've just made such a great duo.
They both on their own are fantastic characters.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I haven't loved the later seasons of The Walking Dead, Clementine as a character and like knowing where that journey goes for her is something I always wanted to keep my eye on and be like, all right, how does this go with the story? Where did they take it? Because I was so invested from season one of The Walking Dead. And then season 2 and 3 playing those, that is just, both of those characters are so well-rounded. They're so beautifully written. And you as the character, like you were playing into those characters, so you're making decisions based on that. But it still feels like all your decisions are rooted in something they would do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for me, between Lee and Clementine, I guess it would be a tie. Those two are just absolutely wonderful. So yeah, those are my picks.
All right, so I'm gonna cheat. I'm gonna do the same thing. I'm gonna have a tie here, but it's gonna be in the same franchise. It's gonna be Leon S. Kennedy and Chris Redfield. Leon is just, he's a cool dude. He's a cool motherfucker. Like this guy, the leather jacket in Resident Evil 4, like that whole get up, that whole story, just, he's a badass. There's nothing else you can say. He's one of the, to me, I think he's the best character in Resident Evil. However, there's one second place, and that is Chris Redfield. This guy is just, he's easily on some steroids. I think we can all agree with that. I don't think there is any denying it. Not only is he just somehow become shredded from the early Resident Evil games to Resident Evil 5, but this man punches a boulder.
Ah, yes, the infamous boulder punch.
Chris Redfield is a fantastic character. I love the art that he goes on. And there's, again, I talked about Resident Evil earlier and just the blend of the scary moments with cheesiness, but the characters in it, Jill Valentine, Chris Redfield, Leon Kennedy, Claire Redfield, like those four especially to me, they're classics. They're iconic characters in the gaming industry on their own. And it's because of, you know, I guess playing through those games in my childhood. So I guess that's my pick here. I cheated and picked four people.
Yeah, that's all right. Horror's all about cheating death and trying to cheat the spirits. So
there you go.
Hey, that works out. All right. So let's go ahead and get up out of here and actually hit our time limit this time. Taylor, what are you playing?
Not playing all too much. I did get a chance to play Overwatch 2. I did get a chance to merge my account with Overwatch 2.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was a time. I'm having some fun with it. I have some problems. I don't think the game should have went to 5v5. There is a feeling of I'm missing somebody while I'm still out there. I don't know if that's something I'll get used to. But it does feel like the comps for teams are a little more, it doesn't feel as free as what it was before. It feels like you do need just one tank, two supports, and the rest are damage. That kind of feels like what the meta is to me, and it feels like that's what I need to do every time, and my team needs to do every time for us to win. But there is some things I really like. As a Reinhardt main, I love what they did with Reinhardt. I feel like I have more control over my charge, and I'm able to have two charges of my ranged attack, which is really cool. So I don't know. I'm kind of have conflicting opinions about that too, but it's enjoyable. I'll say that, and the graphics are much improved. Well, I wouldn't say much; they're improved.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I actually kind of like how Mercy feels a little more useful this time around. I don't know if it's because I just got better with Mercy. I still don't main Mercy, but that's kind of cool. As for the three new heroes they added, Kiriko might be the worst new addition. Her healing ability is ass. But that's also what I've been playing. So it's actually going to be a two-for-one because that's also what I've been playing Overwatch 2. Her healing ability is ass, but hey, she can attack well, so she's more of a DPS than healer. I do like Junker Queen. She actually does a really good job with crowd control. And as for, oh man, what's the third character's name? Sojourn. As for her, yeah, she's sort of 76. And so, yeah, it's kind of fun. Her real gun is pretty cool.
Soldier 76 was like a badass with a beard, though. I do have to say.
Yeah. He's got that old man beard going on where he just doesn't care anymore. All right, Taylor, what are you working on and where can we find you?
Not working on too much, just working on these podcasts. You can find me in our Discord. The link for that is in the description of this very episode. I have a question for you, Michael, because I'm not going to let you do all the heavy lifting here. What are you working on and where can the people find you?
As for me, I am working on a couple of stuff. I am actually working on a couple of videos for Steam's Next Fest. That thing is ended, so I'm going to consolidate all of my recordings and pick a couple of games that I think are interesting and do a couple of videos on that. And you can find me on Twitter at @M_MOSLEY_JR. If you find a weirdo in Fox, congratulations, you're in the right place. I'm coming back to Twitch. I've been doing other things. And you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/FoxDaddy. That's FOXDADDY. If you want more from the Nerd Stash Network, you may also like our movie and TV podcast called Nerds Talk Movies. On that podcast, our crew of experts take a deeper look at beloved movies and TV shows via retrospectives and spoiler talks. In fact, you know what? Our man Taylor is the one who mainly runs that show. So Taylor, let us know what's been happening over there at our podcast.
Well, we're kind of in the Halloween spirit over at Nerds Talk Movies too, but Tristan Benz, who is one of our great co-hosts there, and I are not big into horror movies, unlike our other co-host, Drew Garrison. So we kind of all convened. We're like, what can we do? What can we talk about? And we love DC movies. We love talking about superhero stuff. So we didn't want to talk about anything in current DC or Marvel right now. We want to have a Halloween theme. And we settled on covering Batman, The Long Halloween, parts 1 and 2. So part 1 is already up right now. Part 2 will be going up in a few days on Monday. So it was a lot of fun, and we've already recorded both parts. It was a lot of fun to talk about this movie. I loved it. I know it's not everyone's favorite, but I just love this arc that you see a young Batman go on. From not wanting to be a detective to trying to figure out who this holiday killer is and kind of learning a lot of valuable lessons along the way about that. So, it was a great movie, and can't wait for people to hear about our thoughts on it.
Sweet, sweet. And finally, check out thenerdstash.com for all sorts of news in the world of gaming, movies, television, and so much more. We also have guides, reviews, opinion pieces, and various other types of content over there as well. Just like Discord, the link to thenerdstash.com is in the description of this very episode. So with all that said, Taylor, I'd like to thank you for joining me. This is a great special episode. We actually kept up with our time. And I want to thank you.
I'm so shocked.
And thanks to anyone for listening in, whether this is your first time or your 600th time. We really appreciate you. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode.